Welcome to the September 21st edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. The past two Sundays, we've been blessed by Derek Tam, a student at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, while Pastor Jonathan has been away from the pulpit on temporary leave. Today, we are once again blessed with another speaker from Covenant, Caleb Long. Caleb is a graduate of Covenant and today shares hope for those times in life when we feel powerless in a sermon titled, Earthquakes, Lightning, and Corpses, taken from Matthew 28. Here to introduce our speaker is Pastor Jonathan Whitley.
This morning, we have the privilege of bringing into our presence a graduate from Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. We've had someone the last couple weeks, and we're going to have someone new today, Caleb Long. When I first saw Caleb's name on a list that I got from Covenant Seminary, the name immediately piqued my curiosity because I went to high school with another member of the Long family, a cousin of Caleb's, later found out. But anyway, Caleb comes to us from St. Louis. He is the worship director and ministry apprentice at Midtown Church, a church plant there in St. Louis near the Del Mar Divide, I'm told. And it's a wonderful ministry that they have going on, trying to reach to cross-cultural ministry, urban church planting. And Caleb is interested in doing the same thing, and he's going through the process with the Presbyterian Church America of going through the assessment in church planting. So we are happy to welcome you this morning to bring us God's Word. So thank you. Let's welcome Caleb.
Thank you. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you all here this morning. I love opportunities to get to preach the Word of God, and it's a great privilege to be with you all. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Now, this is probably a familiar passage for many of you. It's a classic for missions conferences. I grew up a missionary kid, and so I've been to a lot of missionary conferences. I asked my dad, who's a preacher, asked him how many times he's preached or taught on this passage, and he said probably hundreds. So this is familiar. But I want to ask you a question this morning. What fills you with fear? What makes you afraid? And as we read the text today, I want you to notice words like terrify and fear in the text. So let's stand together and read Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that the meditations of our hearts, and that the words of my mouth would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, I pray that as we explore this text, that we would see your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was in middle school, about 12 years old, my brother and I decided to walk to church. Now, we lived in a part of the world where you could walk to church. It was the city of Lisbon in the country of Portugal, on the other side of the world. And our church was about 5-minute walk, right? It was a high-rise community. Everybody lived in apartments. And we had this tiny church, about 20 people. And you could walk there, and it was in a little storefront, right? So we start walking, and we're maybe 20 feet from the front door of the church, out on the street. And this guy steps in front of our path. He steps on the sidewalk in front of us. We're just kids. And he's like, "Give me your money." We didn't have any money. And my brother explained to him in Portuguese, we don't have anything. Like, I mean, just leave us alone. And then out of his jacket, he pulled a syringe out of his jacket. Now, that's kind of weird. Was he pulling a needle on us? Now, in Portugal at the time, AIDS was kind of running rampant in the heroin community, and it was passed from person to person through the sharing of needles. And we knew this, and so we were a little afraid, powerless to do anything, as this guy just wandered out of a bar and right in front of us and was asking us for money. We didn't have anything. It's okay. He took my brother's watch, and he left us alone, and we ran into the church, and I was just shaking with fear. We were just walking to church, of all places, and this guy stepped in front of us, and we were powerless to do anything about it. That scared me. Now, I know that each and every one of you in this room have had instances where fear has overwhelmed you, where fear has kind of broken in to your world that you may have thought was secure and shaken you up, rattled you. Times in your life where you felt utterly powerless. And maybe it's an event, you know, maybe it was a story, something that happened to you, but maybe it's something that's more ongoing. I don't know. But just listening to the news these days is enough to make me feel powerless. Hearing about what's happening in Ukraine, for instance. You know, you've gotten an aggressive move on the part of Russia, and oh my gosh, what am I going to do about it? Okay. Powerless, afraid. And if you look at our text today, it's kind of amazing what's going on here. You've got these two women who are grieving the loss of a dear friend. And then there's this earthquake. What's going on? There's an earthquake. The ground is literally shaking. And then you've got this guy who's flying through the sky and coming down, and he's got superhuman strength, and he's pushing back this stone. And you've got these hardened Roman soldiers who are supposed to be like the Green Berets, like the best of the best. And they're becoming like corpses. And then you've got a guy who's supposed to be a corpse who's up and walking around. There's some wild things happening here. Some fearful, frightening things. And these two women are powerless. They're just witnesses. They're just watching. Now, so we've all faced fearful circumstances. Maybe not earthquakes, right? Maybe not angels with lightning faces. But we've all experienced things that make us feel out of control. And I want you to notice what Jesus says to these two women. He says in verse 10, "Do not be afraid." Now, it's easy to think that's kind of like a pat on the head. Like, oh, don't be afraid. It's okay. It'll be fine. No. When Jesus says don't be afraid, it's not a band-aid. He's done something. Something's happened in the text that allows him to say that with power, with authority. And you can't miss it. You can't miss it if you read this chapter. That thing that happened was that he was dead and now he's alive. And because of that, you and I can take heart. We don't need to be afraid. So when he says don't be afraid, it means something. Why? Because he's reigning as King of Kings. Because he's restoring this world. And because he's commissioning his people. We can take heart. First, let's look at how Jesus, because he's alive, is restoring our world. right? Now, you like I was saying, you can't read this text without seeing that there was this guy who was a corpse who's now up and walking around, right? And if you look at the text, you'll see all these words that say, behold, or see, or, behold, see. You can see it in verse 2. In verse 7, you know, see, there you will see him. They departed, and behold, Jesus met them, right? And they fall at his feet. And then he says, go tell my brothers, and they're going to see me too. Jesus is alive. Now, that's, you know, when Mary and Mary got to the tomb, I don't think they expected to find it empty. You know, my great-grandparents are dead, and they're in their graves. And their parents are also dead. And their parents are also dead. And I imagine the same was probably true for Mary and Mary. So when they came to the tomb, they didn't expect to find it empty. It's almost like this pattern. But I'll tell you, that was not always the pattern. That was not the way things were meant to be. Now, you guys have probably heard of Genesis 1 and 2 and God creating the heavens and the earth, right? He made it what? Very good. And he said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or because if you do, you will surely die. And you know, of course, what happens in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. Rank treason, rebellion against God's rule and reign. They eat from that tree and death. Death is the epitome of everything that's wrong in our world. And here you see Jesus, the crucified one, as the angel says, who is now risen. He has conquered death. And because he's conquered death, he's indicating that he is about restoring what we broke, fixing what we broke. He's cut off the head of death. He's defeated the punishment. And it's a signal to us that he is about a full restoration, a return of the world from how it's been messed up to the way it was meant to be, a place without tears, without grief, without pain. A place of peace and of flourishing. So when Jesus says, don't be afraid, take heart, it's based on this, that he is restoring his creation. Now, I know that I struggle to remember this, really this important, this vital truth. I have a dear friend who was just diagnosed with cancer this year for the third time. And she has been a counselor and a mentor to my wife and me. And she's such a godly person. She's poured her life out for the sake of others. She's a doctor. And she's built up this practice that helps underinsured people. And her husband's a minister, is one of my dearest friends. And I see her struggling under the weight of this disease. And I see her husband struggling and her two children who are in high school struggling as they watch their mother fight. And my wife Katie and I, we try to pray for them just about every night, but it's so hard to remember as we pray and as we grieve and as we struggle and as we see them struggle. It's so hard to remember that Jesus is alive and that he's actually about fixing these things, healing sickness, creating a world where there isn't pain and death and struggle. It's hard to remember. But I want to encourage you that when you feel powerless, when you feel afraid, I want to encourage you to let yourself long for that restoration that Jesus is bringing. Just imagine it. Imagine what it would be like in Anna, Illinois, if there were peace and flourishing and life, where death didn't reign anymore, and people loved each other, and were always honest and good, and everyone worshiped Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Imagine that. Long for it as you see those around you struggling, as you yourself struggle. And then I want you to join in the work of that restoration. You can imagine, if you can imagine it, if you can see what peace would be like, what flourishing would be like, what complete restoration would be like, work for it. Do whatever you can. It doesn't have to be anything big, but remember, Jesus has already cut off the head of death. He's already about it. He's already doing it. Just join him, however you can, whatever that looks like. If it means easing the pain of those that you love, if it means taking care of one another as you struggle, I don't know what it looks like as you work it out in your community, but Jesus is about restoring his creation. Imagine, long for it, and join him in it. So when he says, don't be afraid, it's because he is restoring his creation. And he can say, don't be afraid, also because he's reigning as King of Kings. He's restoring his creation, and he's reigning as King of Kings. Now, what does a king wear, right? They've got, you know, they've got the crown, and the robes, and the scepter, right? And those things generally symbolize what? They symbolize his power. And I want you to notice, you know, though Matthew doesn't have, he doesn't describe what Jesus was wearing. It doesn't say he was wearing a crown and holding a scepter and had a nice, I don't know, fur robe. Is that how it goes with the king? But I want you to see that Jesus is exercising the power of a king. Now, he's been sealed in this tomb, right? Who put that seal on there? Matthew 27 tells us that it was the chief priests, the religious leaders of the time, sealed up the tomb so that nobody could get in to steal his body. Well, it didn't pose much of a problem for him. He walked right through it. I don't know how he got through it. The text doesn't tell us, but it obviously didn't keep him in there, because when the angel rolled the stone away, he wasn't there. So the religious leaders obviously couldn't keep him in. And then you've got these tough Roman guards, right? These green berets, these best of the best, these battle-scarred warriors, right, with their weapons, symbolizing the power of Rome, who was the world's superpower at this time. They controlled everything. These guys didn't even know he was gone. And then, just to put the icing on the cake, you see this guy fly down from heaven with a face like lightning. Now, I didn't read comics growing up, but I can imagine this angel character as a comic, right? Like, he's got this face that like shines like lightning, and his superhuman strength can roll back stones, and I can just imagine this guy. But his name means sent one. I can say, if I was reading a comic or a book or anything and a character's name was sent one and he had all these cool powers, my first question, you know what it would be? Who sent him? And whoever sent him must be pretty powerful, must be more powerful than this guy. Do you notice in the text that the angel's words are to Mary and Mary are the same thing that Jesus says? Who do you think sent that angel? Who's exercising their power over the religious leaders of the time, over the political leaders of the time, and demonstrating it with this sent one? Not only is Jesus exercising power, you can also see him exercising his authority. Now, okay, so power, you understand power, right? Boom. Authority is the right to use that power. Now, what happens, if you look with me in verse 9, when Mary and Mary meet Jesus? Boom. They fall at his feet and they worship him. Now, Jesus knows his Bible. And he knows that the only person that is worthy of receiving worship is God alone. And that's what they're doing. And you know what? He doesn't stop them, because he is reigning as King of Kings. Jesus has the power and the authority, and it's demonstrated right here in this text. And it's the pinnacle of Matthew's account. Matthew's been all about telling his readers that this is the Messiah, who was the son of David, the promised king. And here's the climax. Here's the high point. He's exercising power. He's demonstrating his authority. Now, I don't know about you, but I often feel powerless You know, it wasn't just back when I was in middle school and getting mugged at the point of a syringe that I felt powerless. Kind of an ongoing theme for me. The other day, my wife and I were driving to, we were going out on a date. And we had the radio turned on. I like to listen to NPR. In fact, I was listening to it on my drive up here. And, you know, I hate getting sick. I hate getting sick. I'm a music teacher and I'm also a worship director. So it's really important that I have my voice and that my voice doesn't go. I also like to run. And if you get sick, it's hard to do any of those things, to teach, to sing, to run. I hate it. It's awful. And this news report comes on about Ebola. Have you guys heard those news reports about Ebola? Kind of scary. I start to feel this sense of panic, like, oh no, oh no. And, you know, the expert is saying it's an epidemic, and I'm starting to get all anxious, and I feel powerless to stop this, and powerless to stop it from happening to those that I love. Now, to put you at ease, I from everything I've heard, I don't think Ebola is much of a threat to this country with the medical infrastructure that we have. However, it only takes that little report to make me feel afraid and powerless and make me start panicking. For those of you who have children, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, the past couple of weeks, as I've been teaching music, this is my first year as a teacher. It's totally a new thing for me. I'm teaching 3-year-olds to 6th graders. So it's a pretty wide range of kids. And you know, I can be very clear. I can be a good disciplinarian. I can set good standards for them. But ultimately, I can't make their decisions for them. I can't make them behave. I can't make them make the right choices. Powerless, right? It's frightening. It's scary being in that place. Remember, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is reigning as King of Kings. He has power and authority in big things, global events, and in little things, like kids. He has the power and the authority. I mean, I confess that it's difficult as I'm nearing the end of my school day and the kids are riding my last nerve, right, and making all the wrong decisions and making me feel completely out of control of the situation. It's really hard for me to remember this, that Jesus is reigning with power and authority, that he's King of Kings, that he's got the power. I don't have to have it. It's hard to remember, but I want to encourage you to take every opportunity to remember that when you feel out of control, when you feel afraid. One of the very practical things you can do, and this is simple, and you're all doing it right now, is to come to church. You know why we meet on Sunday morning is because Sunday morning is the time that Jesus rose from the dead. So when you gather together and you sing songs, when we sing songs like Holy is the Lord God Almighty, we're saying Jesus has got the power and the authority. I might not have it. My life might be a mess. I might not have things together. I might feel completely out of control. But Jesus has the power and the authority because he's alive. And so when he says, don't be afraid, when he says, take heart, remember that. Another thing that you can do is just to pray. Just this morning we prayed, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's a kingdom prayer right there. And you can do that. You can do that for your community. Lord, let your rule and reign expand right here in Anna, Illinois, right here in this church, right here in my family or in my life. Let your rule and reign expand. You can also pray for the big things too. Pray that God would stop the spread of Ebola, that he would bring peace to places of conflict like Ukraine or Iraq right now. Pray. Jesus is reigning as King of Kings. He's restoring. He's reigning. But he's also commissioning. Look with me at verse 10. Jesus meets Mary and Mary, and then he says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." He tells them to go and tell. That's a specific command for Mary and Mary. But it foreshadows a greater commission that's coming at the end of the text that he gives to all believers, to go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded. It foreshadows that. Now, I don't know about you, but when I don't have a commission, when I don't have a job or something to do, I feel way out of control and very powerless. This last semester, when I was finishing up my studies at Covenant Seminary, I didn't have a commission to look forward to. I didn't have a job lined up. And I thought, you know, it'll be okay. It'll be fine. So I get to the last semester and I'm networking like crazy and I'm, you know, I've got these interviews and nothing. I got to May, got to graduation, and there was really nothing lined up. And I felt so out of control and afraid, scared. I had gone through 3 years of rigorous study and, you know, thinking there'd be like a bright light at the end of the tunnel, but there wasn't. I felt powerless and afraid. I couldn't just manufacture a job for myself. It is hard to go without a commission, to feel like you don't have a purpose. It makes me feel powerless. It makes me feel afraid. I know that any of you who have struggled to find work, it's a tough economy, you know this feeling. You know this feeling of powerlessness, of fear. I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus is alive. He has commissioned you. He has work for you. And it's not like, oh, now I got to do this work. It's a blessing. It's like, hey, he's honoring you with something to do in his kingdom. Now, Mary and Mary, you know, these two women were relatively unimportant. They weren't apostles, right? They weren't part of the 12. And in this particular day and age, women wouldn't have been chosen to be the witnesses to the resurrection. But Jesus says, hey, maybe you got that backwards. And he shows up and he appears to them, right? He honors them by saying, no, you guys are going to go tell my brothers, the 12. Jesus is honoring them by giving them a commission. Now, Jesus doesn't leave you without a commission. So I'd encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with that, if you feel powerless, if you feel afraid and stuck, read the commission. It's all right here. It's all right here. I know it's big, but it's here in the Bible. And then go and tell. Use every opportunity you have to bear witness, like Mary and Mary, that Jesus is alive, that he is restoring this broken world, that he's reigning as King of Kings, and that he's commissioning his people. Now, brothers and sisters, when I got home after that very frightening evening at the point of a syringe, still a little shaky, I mean literally shaky, like these guards trembling, you know, afraid, I didn't really want to leave the apartment for the next couple of weeks. I was sort of trapped, kind of stuck there. Until one Sunday at church, a couple of my friends, they were a little older than me, invited me to go play soccer at a court. We didn't have fields in the city, no grass, at a court nearby. And I was like, yeah, I really want to go, but I don't really want to leave my apartment because it's too scary. I'm too afraid. So my dad hears about it and he walks me down. He goes with me and I'm like, okay, I'll go if you'll go with me. So we walk down there and I had a great time. Everything was okay. Came back the next week. Great time. Pretty soon, my dad stopped walking down with me and I kept coming. And then my friends from church sometimes wouldn't show up, but I still wanted to go play soccer. And I met these guys from all over the world down there, from Mozambique, from Angola, from Brazil. I think we had five continents represented. There were immigrants and refugees as well. And I remember walking up the hill to our apartment one evening after playing soccer, just overcome with this sense of joy. I thought I didn't have a place. I thought I didn't have work to do in God's kingdom. I thought I was going to be afraid, stuck. And here was this glorious opportunity to share Christ with these guys that had probably never heard the gospel. And I was just overcome with the joy of having a commission, of having something to do. Jesus doesn't leave his people without a commission. It doesn't fix the powerlessness that we feel. It doesn't get rid of all the fear. After the angel told Mary and Mary to not be afraid, they still were a little afraid. But we have a job, a commission, something to do. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this morning that when Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's not just a little pat on the head. It is a full-scale declaration that he is restoring what we broke, that he is reigning as King of Kings with power and authority, and that he's commissioning his people for work in the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sending your son. Lord, thank you for ruling in power, for restoring this world, and for giving us work to do. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, and that in the face of fear, we can remember. We can remember that you were crucified, but are now alive. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.